Why are you here? Do you want to know more about Jesus? That's theology. Do you want to know Jesus more? That's relationship. That's biblical truth. There's a vast difference between the two. A vast difference. One will make you smarter. The other one will set your heart on fire. Do you want to get smarter? Or do you want to be on fire? I think that's an excellent question, and that song just drew that out of me. Thank you, David and Megan, for that song. Just needed that desperately today. I want to know more. We have Jesus more. I want to know him more. If you don't have a Bible, we have a brother that will bring the Bible to you. Raise your hand, and he will bring the Bible to you. We're going to be going to the book of Luke, the 15th chapter. We're going to be starting, we're going to be reading verse 25 through 32. Luke chapter 15, 25 through 32. Love to hear those pages turning. I'm praying that that each of us bring our own Bible from home. Even though we hand out Bibles, the neat thing about bringing your own Bible from home is that you can mark it up. We don't worship the Bible. We worship Jesus. We use the Bible to get to know Jesus better. Amen? Amen. 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 And so as you are there, put your finger there. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come in your presence, and we are thankful that you are here. You're the most important person in this room. And so, Lord, we welcome you in this place. We desire you. In fact, the first song we started out is that we want your spirit to have a greater reign in our life and than what it has before, that we want your spirit to well up inside of us and to overflow in us, in our lives, and that, Father, you move amongst these words as a frail and feeble human being comes to share you and what you have shared with me this week. Father, you're the most important one. Your word is more important than the one giving it. And so, Father, may we honor and may we lift up your word in this place in such a way that, Lord, our respect of our heart comes before your word. May we be Bereans in this place, that no matter what's spoken in front, we're searching, we're looking, we're in your word because we desire to know you more. Father, I just pray that you bless this time together. Thank you for bringing this family together. It is a joy for the gift of worshiping you today. In the precious name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. It was Easter that I preached and started the story of the prodigal son. It might have seemed strange to do that, and yet I started that time out with saying one of the greatest spiritual resurrections in story form that Jesus brought forward to us. And it's important because I believe that resurrection is the reason we come. Resurrection is the reason that we come before God, because either we have been arisen and our hearts are passionate after following him, or we come here because we desire resurrection. We're not just here for information. We are here for transformation. We're here for hearts to be moved and changed in the presence of Jesus Christ. And so that is why I brought that message. And then if you remember from my message online, if you watched it, there was a verse in there that said, consider carefully how you listen. That's so important. You know, is your heart open to the Lord today? Is your heart desire and passion to hear a word from Jesus today? Not from Wayne Andersma, but from Jesus. That's so important because we have, as I heard this morning on a YouTube that was sent to me by a friend of mine from Iraq, where one of the greatest revivals is happening in the world today. He said, American church is sleeping. church, they don't see it. They all think that this is something that is their right and privilege as church. They don't see it as like a commander in chief that is calling them into a military charge and giving them a design for the attack, and that they go out in the war. And he says, us in Iraq, we don't have any problem with that, because we're so underground, because we're so persecuted, we realize we're in a war every single day. And so the gift of persecution. So bring canceled culture. Shut the church down. Tell us it's illegal to be Christians. Praise God. It's about time. The question is there going to be enough evidence against me to put me in prison? Or have I become... what I'm calling my message today, the real lost brother, have I become the greatest false religion in the world? You say, well, what are you talking about? I was part of a church before this years ago, and there was a gal by the name of Shannon. She had come to church with her and her kids, and had started worshiping, but of course, under the normal call of American church, there was no call for accountability. There was no call to responsibility to respond to what was being spoken in front of her. Those sermons were going off her back, just like they've gone off many of our backs year after year after year. And so, in that, something started to develop in her life that was a falsity. Sue and I, sometime later, came and visited that church again. I'm not exactly sure why we were there. I know we had a friend of ours was preaching, doesn't matter. But we sat down, and we were behind Shannon. And so we hadn't seen her now for a year or so. So we were kind of excited when greeting time came up. We got the opportunity to greet that we were going to say hi to her. As we stood up and she turned around, there was a visible, obvious anger that she gave off. And she didn't care whether she'd seen us or not. She was angry about something, and she was going to let everybody know what it was. And so as we said to her, hi, Shannon, how are you? She said, I am not doing good. I said, oh, I'm sorry. What's going on? Someone is sitting in my seat. Well, we sat back down, and we came to realize it was the visiting pastor. Poor guy. His message probably never got anywhere with her. But I tell you this story as an entrance to this message, because I believe that the greatest false religion is not those that have doctrinal differences in scripture than us, or that even teach that there are more ways to heaven than Jesus. These are obvious false religions. I think the greatest false religion is the one that's not obvious, but the one that is being born within the walls of the church. The ones that miss the whole point about the grace and mercy of God, that turns, and they turn the gospel into the effort of man. Listen to this poem that I think just brings this to light. It says, by an anonymous writer, it says this: O long and dark the stairs I trod, with trembling feet to find my God, gaining a foothold bit by bit, then slipping back and losing it. Never progressing, striving still, with weakening grasp and faltering will, bleeding to climb to God, while he serenely smiled, unnoted me. Then came a certain time when I loosened my hold and fell thereby, down to the lowest step my fall, as if I had not climbed at all. Now when I lay despaired there, listen, a footfall on the stair. On that same stair where I, afraid, faltered and fell and lay dismayed, and lo, when hope had ceased to be, my God came down the stairs to me. You have heard me say before, religion is man trying to reach for God, and true faith is understanding that God has bent low to reach to man. So to completely understand the prodigal son story, we have to understand the people that Jesus was speaking to. The prostitutes and the sinners were the prodigals. And Jesus Christ was encouraging them that even though they had been far away from God, that he was the Father that was waiting for them to come home. And he was the one that was going to run to them. But also the Pharisees, the ones that, if you know the story, were mocking Jesus for even talking to these sinners, that he was then, they were the elderly brother. You see, they would have completely misunderstood the story and would have completely said this: the prodigal son deserved the famine. The prodigal son deserved the pig food because he had made an absolute stupid choice, and he deserved what he got. You ever felt that way about somebody? Yeah, you deserve what you get, right? And so they would have just celebrated the fact that this son was getting what he deserved. But they would have looked at the father and said he was completely out of line. They would have said, what do you mean you're waiting? What do you mean you keep your eyes on the horizon and that you'd run when the sun comes? That is totally wrong. This son should have been publicly shamed, and he should have had family probation, meaning that he would have to earn his way back in the family. So as we continue on with the story, you have to understand that the hearers saw the elder brother as the hero of the story. The elder brother had it right. He represented the religious leaders of Jesus' day. You know, it's so interesting to me. That has been what the church has, what the people have said about the church for so many years. You know, I'm not going to go to church because they would look at me and they would condemn my lifestyle. They would look at me and they would say, I'm getting exactly what I deserve. And so why would I ever go to a church? Why would I ever walk into a church? All I would get is condemnation. Are we the elder brother? Have we become the greatest false religion on the face of this earth? Because we've missed the whole point of grace and mercy and what God has done in our lives, and that has not been the foundation of what has changed us. And so as we go through the story, I want you to think about the elder brother. He's the elder in going to church that in the pews for years. He has been so faithful in going to church that everybody would look at him as such a great person. And I want to challenge you to see him as the greatest false religion on this earth. It's going to bite. But I believe, I've been asking God, when do you want me to preach this? When? And he's been saying, not yet, not yet, not yet. And then he said, this week. Yes, sir. I don't know why. I'm just going to follow him. And I'll leave up the results. Whether you walk out angry at me or not, I'm going to leave that up to Jesus. So anyways, let's go in this. I want you to look at this. So we're going to start at verse 25. So if you're new in here, you need a Bible? Doug is still available to run a Bible to you. We're going from Luke 15. If you don't, that's fine. But I want to give you the chance because I think you need to see it in front of your eyes as well as me. Don't just listen to me. Be engaged in this. And so anyway, starting at verse 25, listen to what it says. It says, the parable of the lost son. The son has come back. The father has thrown a feast and celebrates. He says, for this son of mine was dead in verse 24 and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. God wants to celebrate today Because there may be somebody dead in here that comes alive. There may be somebody that was lost. And today, for the first time, you're found. That is my God. That is who is here today. And as the sun shines outside today, so the Son of Jesus Christ wants to shine in your and my heart. And so as we go into verse 25, God forbid that we're this older son. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called to one of the servants and asked him, "What's going on? What is going on?" I want you to notice something. False religion has no relationship with the Father. No relationship. The older brother was there, but did you notice? He didn't go to the older father to ask him what was going on. Who did he go to? The servant. So disrespectful, so unloving of his father that he didn't even bother to go to dad and say, "Hey, Dad, what's going on here?" He went to the servant and said, "What in the world's going on here?" False religion has no relationship with. Do you have a relationship? I don't care if you've been in church all your life or if you've just come the first time. Do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? You see, the older brother wanted the father to die too. He was just willing to wait to make it natural. The younger son, the prodigal, said, "You know, you're dead to me, God. You're dead to me, Father." The older son said, "You're dead to me, but I'll just let it go naturally." It is so crazy that people can be in church the whole time, and yet they have such a disrespect for the Father, such a disrespect that they just have no relationship. Do you have a relationship with him? Is he so important that he is the one that you talk to every day? He's the one that you're reading his word. He's the one that you're seeking and crying out to him daily. Or are you like the elder brother who wouldn't even go to the father, but he'd go to one of his servants? It's so funny to me. It's, you know how many times I have been attacked because somebody has been mad by what this thing has said. And so they attack me. They have so little respect for God that they don't go to him and say, "What your servant said, is that true? Because if it is, I'm not living it." A false religion has no relationship with the Father. You have to understand, not only did he go to the servant, but in verse 28, he refuses to go into the party. Disrespect says, "I'm not even interested in being in the same location as the person I hate." In verse 29, it says, look, he says, the elder brother says to the father, "Look, all these years I've been slaving for you, never obeying and never disobeying your orders." He never even addresses the father. He just says, "Look, all these years I've been slaving for you." His attitude was, "You aren't even worthy of me addressing your name. I don't even say the name of God. I don't even say the name of the Father." Listen to me, people of God. Relationship is the only true entrance into the family of God. No one earns their way in. No one deserves their way in. God is not lucky enough to have you as a follower. It is the fact that you realize that you've received the love of the Father through the sacrifice of his Son. And if you have not, you have no relationship with God. You are part of the greatest false religion in the world, and you are dangerous because you say you believe, but you live in no relationship outside of that. Do you love God? You guys have heard of the Shema. It's a thing that the Israelites used to say all the time, and it's all about relationship with God. Listen to it. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." That's what we believe about God. "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments I give you today are to be on your hearts." He doesn't want you to obey him just out of obedience. It's got to be something that comes out of my soul, out of my heart. I obey you, God, because I know you. I love you, and you love me, and you've come to me. Listen, then it becomes something that just flows out of you, like water out of a spring that cannot be contained. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your house and on your gates. It is just that when you get the love of the Father, it just flows out of the heart. You can't contain it. It is possessing you. You're not possessing it. That all of you, and it changes you forever. Do you have that? Answer that question, because if you don't, today the Father wants that. If you walk out of here and are satisfied, listen to me, are satisfied with just being a person who goes to church because that's what I do and it means nothing more than that, you are a great danger. You are the greatest representation of false religion on this earth. And it's got to stop. Second, verse 27 through 28, listen to this. Your brother has come, father replies, and your father, or excuse me, a servant replies, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has him back safe and sound. The older brother became angry and refused to go in. False religion has a hidden anger and hatred that blurs vision. The phrase safe and sound. I mean, you know, I'd like to have a hand up of every child. One of the greatest things that we've had in our midst is children who have walked away from their families and walked away from the Lord. And I think that God is drawing us together because I think he wants his children to come home. And so he's drawing us together to draw children back to him, okay, and to their families. If you remember what John the Baptist said, he said what the Lord said in Malachi, the end of Malachi, he said that when the spirit, the man possessing the spirit of Elijah will come and proclaim the coming of the Messiah, he will draw his children back to their parents and parents back to their children. I love that. I serve a gathering God, not a separating God. Now listen to me. Am I the only one in the room that has been absolutely just amazingly confused by the Pharisees? Like, he will heal somebody in front of them, but because it's on the Sabbath, they'll get angry with him because he's not doing that. In fact, he got so angry that he said this, "People, you have 6 days to come and to be healed. You don't need to come on the Sabbath to be healed." I was just like, what are you guys doing? Don't you get it? That's what church is about. Church is about healing. Church is about hearts that have been hurt and have been separated, have experienced loss, have experienced pain, have seen their decisions lead them to places they know they should never go. And when they come back, the Father wants to heal them. He wants to heal you. Don't you get that? That's what we're about. This is not some religious organization that you just listen to somebody talk. The Spirit of God wants to heal the land. And it's supposed to start with us. And so I've always been confused about this. In fact, I think it's so funny that Jesus even, you know, Jesus looks at this and he goes, "Why are you guys, what are you guys thinking? Stop it, stop it." And he says to them in the 10th chapter of John, the 37th verse, he says, "Do not believe me unless I do the works of my Father," right? So these guys are coming and say, "I don't believe in you, Jesus. I don't believe what you're doing." And he's like, okay. You know, if you don't want to believe my words, fine. But you know what? At least believe the works that I'm doing in the name of the Lord, right? "But if I do them, even though you do not believe me, believe the works that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and that I am in the Father." And it's just like, okay, you know, maybe you don't believe my words right now, but do you see the works that are happening? Do you see that the Father's being honored in my presence? Believe that. And among you, which are the miracles? Remember, one time even Jesus said, "Well, you know, I have done miracles among you. Which are the miracles that you want to stone me over?" And they said these words. He said, "We don't want to stone you for the miracles. That's great. That's fine. We want to stone you because you claim to be God. You claim to be God. So they got the message, they saw the miracles, and they completely missed Jesus. Why? One reason. Because hatred and anger, listen to me, hatred and anger blurs your vision of truth. Listen to me. If you have walked away from the Lord, if you have been walking your life and you know you've been walking in places you shouldn't walk, I dare you to look at the anger that's behind it. There's an anger that has raised up in your heart that is causing you not to see the truth, but to accept a lie in your life. I was talking to a couple this week, and we just had a really wonderful time, but they both confessed that they have an anger in their heart, and that is what's caused them to walk some of the journey that they've walked. And so, false religion. You can sit in church. You can sit in church for years with that anger, and it never can sit in church. And people of God, that then becomes a false religion. Did you notice that when he says safe and sound, what that means is this, that his brother was completely restored and at peace with the family. I think that's amazing. That's what God wants. And yet the eldest brother couldn't see it. He didn't want to see it. And so, is your hatred blurring vision? Hatred of God can come in many forms. It can come in false superiority. It can come in the idea that you've been dealt a bad deal in life. It can come with the idea that you cannot overcome the oppression of sin. It can come in that you believe other people have had that which you never have had. And it's usually associated with self-centered living and putting the blame on others or God instead of the truth. False religion has a hidden hatred, and it blurs vision. In fact, we have an amazing story in the Bible about this hidden anger and this false religion in Jonah. Right? So God calls Jonah to go to Nineveh to share, in 40 days you're going to be destroyed. That's all he had to say. 40 days you're going to be destroyed. And instead of going there, he ran away, right? And there's a big fish, swallows him, and in the pit of that fish for 3 days, just like the Son of Man was in the earth for 3 days, he says, I'll do what you want me to do. I want to follow you. Your salvation is greater than all things. He's spit out. Blah. And with seaweed still on his head and with stomach acid still on his clothes, he walks through Nineveh for 3 days and says, y'all gonna be destroyed. 40 days, all gonna be destroyed. Then he goes, sits on the hill and waits for it to happen. Well, the king of Nineveh goes, maybe God will change his mind. And so he says, we are going to fast and we're gonna pray and cry out to God. And there is a huge conversion of 120,000 people. And what's Jonah doing? But to Jonah, this seemed wrong. I'm sorry. And he became angry. He prayed to the Lord, isn't this what I said, God, when I was still at home? That's what I tried to foretell by fleeing to Tarshish. I knew you were a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, Lord, take away my life, for it's better for me to die than to live. He accuses God of being compassionate, loving, merciful. Because false religion wants to well up inside of us. False religion wants to say, we're the deserving ones. They aren't. They're my enemies. Have you ever prayed for your enemy? It took me 3 years. Well, they weren't together that long. It took me a year to pray for my daughter's boyfriend. My daughter who has gone away from us. God one day said to me, aren't you praying for Matt? No, why would I pray for that idiot? I'm sorry, this is my conversation with God. And he says, because isn't he your enemy? I said, he is. Well, what do I say in my word? Pray for your enemy. this is where you want to have kind of a holy swear word, right? You know, when you finally get it, it's to do the impossible. Actually, faith calls us to do the impossible. That's really what faith is. I couldn't pray for him. I couldn't pray for him on my own. But I can pray for him in the Spirit of God. And so I am. Wouldn't it be amazing if he came to Jesus? Wouldn't that be awesome? He would be leading my daughter back to us. So I get this anger. I get this hatred. I get it, okay, guys? And I know that among us here, there has been things that have happened that beg to make us angry, that beg to blur the vision in our life. I get that. God wants to unblur. But you have got to be willing to relent that. Okay, third. So no relationship and hatred blurs the vision. Okay? Third, false religion is obedient on the outside. Did you notice that in here? He says in verse 29, look, all these years I've been slaving for you, never disobeying your orders. Well, that's got to be a Christian. Somebody who just does everything God wants them to do, no matter what the attitude is behind it, right? We just keep doing it. No, false religion is only obedient on the outside. The unchanged heart of false religion is hypocritical legalist who does what is expected for the express purpose of ultimately getting what they want. I am not here preaching to you guys because I think that I'm going to get something from this. I'm here preaching to you because God said preach. Alone. The results is up to him. I don't care what the results are. If somebody comes to Jesus Christ in here, it's not because of Wayne Anderson. It's because you've heard the truth. Jesus spoke to your heart and you're saying, I'm on board. I'm in it. It is not about me. It's about what God is calling us to do. But see, the eldest son had no love for his father, but he obeyed because he would get the inheritance someday. Jesus said to the Pharisees in Matthew, the 23rd chapter, the 27th verse, he said these words. He said, woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You're like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of bones of the dead, and everything's unclean. In the same way, on the outside, you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside are full of hypocrisy and wickedness. Exterior obedience does not change interior reality. Interior reality's got to change first. Somebody says, you know, I met David and I were out this week talking about worship, and a waitress was up, and I think she had realized that, I think she realized that David and I were believers. And so when I went up to pay the bill, she just started opening her heart up about her life. And she just got out of an 8-year abusive relationship with a guy. Do you realize that anger, if you allow anger to lead you, it will lead you into an angry life and other people being angry to you, and all that anger just keeps building and building and building. And so afterwards she said to me, I really need to get back to church. I said, no, you need Jesus. You see, she's been picking the wrong man. Women, Sue, your guy isn't your God. Your Jesus is your God. Then you can deal with your guy. And she's had to do that as of yesterday for 40 years. 40 years. No, I'm not going to go that way. Pray for her. Please pray for her. I'm so glad. She needs that. But yes, you know, and so I'm sick and tired of I have to do this because I have to do this. We get the gift of ministry at this place. We get to love people. Right, Chuck? We get the opportunity to break out of our normal life and to walk into other people's lives that we would not normally walk into and love them in the name of Jesus. We get that. That's an honor. That's a privilege because we were born with the self-centered, my life is mine. And I want to do what I want to do with it. And that is false religion. Because never once were you born for just you. God knit you together, Felicia, in your mother's womb. He knit you with a personality, with the beauty, with everything that he made you for the express purpose of one thing, to glorify him, to reflect his light to the world, to pray over bosses, to, you know, just to live that life that, yeah, to say, I get the opportunity not to do what I want, but what you want, and I want to do it because I know that my life was created for that. But it is not just an outside thing. It's got to start inside. It's got to start inside. You're in church today, but I hope to God that you're in Jesus today. Because if you're in Jesus, this makes sense. If you're just in church, you're going to walk out of here and go, what in the world was that raving new lunatic doing up in front of us? That was ridiculous. So why are you here? Are you just doing an outside obedience, or is there something more than that? Fourthly, false religion. Let's look it up. It says here in verse 29b, it says, yet you never gave me a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. False religion doesn't want to be with the family of God. Doesn't want to be. A devotion once told me this. He says, I'm going to bring people into your life that are as quirky as you are. I'm going to bring people in your life that are going to reflect you so that you can see your great need for me. And that you can walk with people that you normally wouldn't have walked with before. But because I've brought them in your life, and you know that, you walk with them, and you're one with them. This is the ground of no racism. This is the ground of race free. Because I don't care what your color is, I don't care what your background is, I don't care what you have experienced in your life. If we walk together as brother and sister, you need to accept my quirkiness and I need to accept yours. Because each reflect a picture of our God. And each, we get the privilege of walking with each other. That is such a gift of ministry. That is such a gift. And yet, false religion has made the church a social gathering. And that's why some of our young people don't even want to go to church because they see the truth. You walk in and out and you really don't care about each other. You really aren't there for each other. You don't walk with each other. You just kind of go in, you do your church thing and you walk back out. You young people, you agree with me? You watch that and you go, that is just fake. That is, yes, it is. We're called to love each other. We're called to love the family. And God is creating a family in this place because he desires us to be one with each other as we are one with him. And yet, how many of us walk out of here and we do nothing of connection with each other? You are part of false religion. Repent and turn. These are the ones God's calling you to love, right here. There's a few out sick. There's a few people that aren't here today. But we're called to love each other. If somebody walked in this place and they walk out of here and they don't believe they've been loved, you've missed your opportunity. You've missed your opportunity. And so, the Pharisees, right? Do you remember the story about the blind man? Right? He was given sight and like he was interrogated like several times. And even his parents were brought forward because we just can't believe this miracle happened. We just can't believe. And so finally, you know, this he says to them, he says, you know, I don't even know who it was that healed me. But you know what? God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the righteous. So I believe that this person is righteous, and I don't even know who he is. And they looked at him, and they said this. Listen, this is the attitude of a Pharisee. False religion is, you were born steeped in sin. Who are you to tell me anything? and they kicked him out of the synagogue. People of God, true religion is seeing all of us the same. The Bible says, as it are written, there's no one righteous, no, not even one. People of God, Jesus did not come to save the self-righteous. He came to save sinners, of which I am the greatest. Do you get that? If you're here today and you're hearing this for the first time and you're realizing that there's sin in your life, that's a really great place to start. Really great place to start. And so false religion really does not want to be with the family. Fifth, so we've talked about no relationship. Hatred blurs vision. Obedience on the outside only. Doesn't want to really be a part of the family. Fifth, false religion. Hatred of the Father overflows to others. Says the eldest son says to his dad, but when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you killed the fatted calf for him. The eldest brother's hatred for the father now becomes physical evidence of his disdain for his brother. Not only did he disassociate from his brother by saying, "Yours, the son of yours," but he also paints, listen to me, the blackest picture he can to prove that he's right in his condemnation. Do you ever notice that when we try to prove a point of injustice of another, we work really hard to paint them as a really bad person? The one thing I'm thankful about with COVID is the fact that it has really uncovered and exposing something. I just this week I met with two people from two different churches, and they said to me this. They said, "We cannot believe what's happening at our church." They said there's so much separation. There are people that literally, because of masks, have taken their membership and moved to another church. Because of the separation, we can't get people to volunteer. Because of the on and on and on it goes. On and on it goes. Are you kidding me? We're called to be a family of God. And we're letting something like a mask separate us. You know that's why I had those masks made up where it says Jesus is heaven? And that I gave. In fact, Lola, you got one of those masks on right now, don't you? Yes, you do. Woohoo! So I said, okay, if we're going to have to wear masks, then let's make it something we'd... Oh, and yes, Tony, I see you too, brother. Yes, if we're going to have to wear a mask, then let's make purpose with it. Let's tell people about Jesus even when we don't say anything. And that's why we had those 100 masks made up. The hatred is... In fact, the Bible says that in the end times, that the love of most will grow cold. We're seeing that. Now, I'm not telling you it's the end times. I don't know when they are. But we're seeing that. Hatred growing. You see that in your life? I have too. And it's time. It is a false religion that's even come out of, in fact, out of the church, worse than anything else. And it's time for it to stop. I don't love somebody because they deserve my love. I love somebody because God created them. That's where it starts. That's where love starts. Because God created them. Sixth, false religion never understands the gift of faith. Listen, look at 31. My son, the father said, you are always with me and everything I have is yours. The gift of father's presence and the inheritance that the son was getting was not enough for him to even see it. He could not understand the gift of faith. Listen to me. Do you understand the gift that you have been given? By even the fact that you're sitting in this room today, do you understand the gifts that you have been given through Jesus Christ, if you know him personally? If you don't, then really you're kind of wasting your time. You see, the Israelites didn't understand. They didn't get the gifts they were given. In Romans 9, it says these words, the fourth and the fifth verse. It says these words, Romans 9, 4 and 5, it says, the people of Israel, theirs is the adoption to sonship. Theirs is the divine glory, the covenants, the receiving of the law, the temple worship, and the promises. Theirs are the patriarchs, and from them is tracked the human ancestry of the Messiah, who is God over all, forever praised. Amen. Do you understand? I'm sensing in my spirit, maybe just visually too, that there may be somebody here today that hasn't been in church in a very long time, and you've just walked into this for the first time, maybe in a very, very long time. You know what? That's a gift. God hasn't brought you because of the speaker or because David and Megan have such good music to present. He's brought you because he wants you to know that he loves you.
David and Megan do have good music.
They do have good music. Thank you. But the point is that it is a miracle that you're sitting in this room. Because God so loved you that not only did he sacrifice his own son, but he has come down the stairs, as the poem said. And you are fallen and you're hurting at the bottom of the stairs. And he has come down to you saying, all your effort to try to come to me has been worthless. I've always been coming to you. I've come to you through Jesus Christ. I am the Father who has never left nor forsaken you. And I am coming to you. Realize it for what it is. Celebrate the gift that you've been given. Surrender your life to God as David and Megan have encouraged us through music to do. And let God do an amazing thing. So as we have looked at these things, and we realize that that all these false religions, these Pharisees were not happy. They were not happy because they realized that this parable was about them. And that Jesus was talking directly to them. But I want you to think, before we go on, I want you to think about the Father in this parable. In verse 25, he is the Father that brought music and dancing. You think you can party? You haven't heard and experienced partying that Jesus does. He is the Father, in verse 27, who brought restoration and peace. Man, there's some of us in this room here that need peace in their heart. He wants to bring it. He wants to restore you to the family. In verse 28, is the Father who pleads with a legalist to see his heart. To see his heart. Faith in God is not about legalism. It is not even about coming to church. But it is about the fact that he so loved you that he came to you. And that he wants your heart to see him. In verse 31, he is the Father who sees everything we do. He knows about the prostitution. He knows about the adultery. He knows about the theft. He knows about the things you've done. He knows the way you think when you're all alone. He knows you. He knows you. And yet, he never condemns you. And fifthly, he is the Father who celebrates the resurrected heart. He rises from the resurrection. He arose his own son as the first fruit to arise from the grave so that those who are called will rise up also. He loves resurrection. And he wants your soul to be arose today. Don't be steeped in doctrine. Don't be steeped in legalism. Don't be steeped in false religion. Realize that today you could be set free and you could be celebrated by the Father and your life can be changed forever. He came to us in the flesh of a man, Jesus Christ. He dwelt within every true believer as the Holy Spirit. And he is the one speaking to us today about the false religion that wants to scrape up in your heart and you see it and you know it and you understand it. But I don't think we totally understand this passage today without realizing something. Do you notice that it suddenly ends? Do you read this? Have you ever read this passage and said to yourself, oh, I want the eldest brother to just get on his knees and say, you're right, Father. I've been wrong. Forgive me of this. It ends. It suddenly ends here. And it's like, Some commentators have said, well, that it's just a partial of the story. No. This is the story. And in fact, we realize that because what happens here between 15 and 16 is that Jesus, who is speaking probably directly to the Pharisees, now turns to his disciples and he tells them a story about money, a story about the unimportance of money, and how if you overinflate yourself, you're going to be fired by the boss someday. Because your whole focus has been on money. Your whole focus has been on this materialistic things. And then if verse 14 says this, the Pharisees who loved money, in chapter 16, 14, the Pharisees who loved money heard all this and were sneering at Jesus. He said to them, "You are the ones who justify yourselves in the eyes of others, but God knows your hearts. What people value highly is detestable in God's sight." And he just slam dunks them. And they're probably sitting there with their mouth open. They are offended like crazy. They hate Jesus. And the end of the story comes a few months later. A few months later, they employ Judas to betray, soldiers to arrest, a mock trial to put on. In the darkness of night, and they partner with a pagan governor to crucify Jesus. You see, hatred of the Father will always lead to murder. Hatred of the Father, false religion will always lead to murder. Always. Matthew 5:22 says, "You shall not murder," Jesus said. He says, "But I tell you, anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment." Uncontrolled anger toward others, false religion toward others, always equals murder. And then he gives us a warning in Hebrews 6 that I think every person who has been in church their whole life should hear. It is impossible for those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gifts, who have shared in the Holy Spirit, who have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of this coming age, and who have fallen away to be brought back to repentance for their loss. They are crucifying the Son of God all over again. As you reflect on this story, I pray that the reality pierces your heart. And I pray that you walk away from here. Either I've been far away from God, I want to become close to God, or I've been going to church all my life and I see false religion in me. I see it in me. See, it begs us to hate beauty. The hatred blurs our vision of our life, of the beauty that he's working. It begs us to obey because it's expected. It begs us to not enjoy the family by seeing their faults and not to grasp the true gifts of faith. But true religion is this. Listen to me. Luke 10. "All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows who the Father is except the Son, and those whom the Son chooses to reveal him." Then he turned to his disciples and said privately, "Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings wanted to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it." There is, in Romans 6, there is the tipping point of what goes from false religion to true religion. It is this: in light of God's true word, says here, "Now if we died with Christ, we believe we also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus." If you do that, if that's you today, then it's no longer your life. It's his. And that's the breaking of false religion versus true religion. False religion is, you know, I love God, but you know, the rest of my life, I can kind of plan myself. True religion is God has authority over every decision of my life to lead me wherever he wants me to lead me, to do whatever he wants me to do, because I am his. That's true religion. If that's not you today, and today God has exposed the reality of the destruction of your false religion, today is a great day to repent and to return to God and to allow Him to build within you the truth of His love, the truth of loving others, the truth of serving Him, not out of obedience, out of just object obedience, but out of desire because you want to walk with the Father and He is leading, and to live a life that is the greatest celebration known to mankind. Because when one comes to the Lord, the angels dance in heaven. May they dance today, because today you've received Jesus Christ as Lord, or today you have said, God, I see the falsity in my life, and I want it out of my life now. And as I call the praise team forward, they can come forward. Why don't you stand with me and let's pray. Father, so many times we've looked at this this proverb, and we've looked at it, and we've focused on the prodigal son, and just like I am with my daughter, praying that God will bring the prodigal back someday. Lord, that's been the focus. But Father, today in the world that we live in, America today, you've allowed us to look at the eldest son. One who's been in church all his life, one who has served diligently in all areas, and he seems to have done everything that he could have, and yet, Lord, within his own heart was a hatred, was a blur, was a hatred for others, was just, Lord, this underneath current. It was dead bones inside. Lord, today I'm believing that somebody was revealed that in their own lives, because false religion is scraping up against us. Satan is at work even in the church today to try to, he's okay with you saved, he's okay with you sitting in a seat, but if you're going to start living this life for Jesus, he's not okay with that. So he'd like to just bury a little false religion in us so we could be okay with the life we have. We can make our plans, we can go on vacations whenever we want to, we can live this life any way that we want to. And yet, Father, that's not biblical. For biblical is, my life is not my own. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, yet still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. God, that is what is going to fire the family of God up. That is what's going to, Lord, touch the community with people who are just saying, I will do whatever it takes because I'm following a daddy that loves me. God, I know there's some people in here, their daddy wasn't in their life. And I just pray for them that they'll see you as daddy of all. I pray, Lord, that there are some in here that have had daddies that have been abusive. God, I just pray for them that, Lord, they'll see that you're not that daddy, that you love them. Father, I pray that you'll break any false religion that wants to raise itself up inside this place, and that we truly will become a people that love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength, and love our neighbor as ourselves. God, let that be the true religion that comes because you are the one that has revealed yourself to us. You've come down the steps, and I have laid broken at the bottom, and you've said, my son, stand up. I have come for you. May we hear that today. In the precious name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.